Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Hey, first things first. A way to go, Nuggets.
But take that L on the way out.
That was awesome.
But take that L.
Here we go. 16 seconds.
Come on.
On the shot clock. 47 on the game clock. Into Murray. Guarded by Danny Green. A good defender.
He's got to want the ball.
Screen and roll. Into Jokic. Put it up and in. Nikola Jokic.
He wanted an and one. He thought Ibaka kind of slammed into him. No call.
Victory! Awesome. Hopefully the Mavs can pick up that W on the road in Pittsburgh tonight. I mean, you know, if Sidney Crosby wants to score, you know, some cute little goals, nobody has a problem with that. It's all right, as long as we get six of them and he gets three of them, it's all good. The Nuggets, though, are the number one team in the West. Okay, so this is not a fluke. I was watching Stephen A. Smith this morning, and they were just about to give the Nuggets some credit. They were right there. They were like, hey, do you believe in this or not? You know, like the female person on the show.
Her name's Molly Karam.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what her role is. I guess just to, I don't know. Are the Nuggets real or not? And Stephen A's like, I give him credit for last night, and then he hits us with, I don't believe in him. And it's just like, I'm just tired of that ridiculous national perception.
To me, this is about the Nuggets right now. I'm just looking at them and I'm like, okay, I'm impressed. I got to give credit where credit's due to the Jaylens of the world. You know, I'm just looking at it from the standpoint, though. Do you know something? I don't believe in them. I just don't. I mean, I want to give credit where credit is due because I recognize that the Raptors are a team, an elite team within the NBA. They're going to be a Final Four team. But I'm not sold because of the youth. Max, I'll let you go from here right now. I want to hear what you have.
Stop. Just ridiculous. There's nothing not to believe in this team. This is not a fluke. It's taken years to sort of assemble this squad. They probably got lucky with Jokic that he'd be this good as a second-round pick, you know, where basketball players, that's future D-leaguers or G-leaguers. But Jokic is he's an all-star. He's a superstar. He's on that level. Jamal Murray is fantastic. Paul Millsap is well-established. Gary Harris is terrific. And you just go on and on and on. And I know you weren't a big fan of Michael Malone, Al, but the dude has just hit all the right notes the entire season.
But take that L on the way out.
So there's nothing not to believe in this team. They're going to be a playoff team, and then we'll take it from there. The end. It's been awesome.
What if they get bounced in the first round?
And then they get bounced in the first round, and then you pick it up
from
there.
That wasn't good enough for George Karl.
That was not after 9 years. That's right. It was not good enough for George Karl after nine years.
So to get back into the playoffs and to be saddled with playing against some of the best teams in the NBA because we're in the Western Conference.
That's what happens in the playoffs.
I know. Western Conference. The reason that Stephen A. probably can't believe in the Denver Nuggets is because he doesn't see the games. He's not in the same time zone. The same time zone, he would understand and know that this team is building like the Washington Wizards were a few years ago. We have two guards that are phenomenal, and Jamal Murray and Gary Harris. Gary Harris, to me, I think is as close to a superstar guard as we can get, even though Jamal Murray will always have the scoring numbers. There's something special about Gary Harris and the way that he plays the game, and Jokic is a solid player, and with all of that being said, they won't have an all-star. Now, the only way that they can have an all-star is that they go in the all-star break leading the league like they are right now with the most wins. And then it's undeniable. But if you just said, who are you taking right now, Damian Lillard or Jamal Murray, it's going to be hard for people to take you know, that approach and take Jamal Murray. It's hard to for NBA fans to get behind NBA teams without a proven superstar or a young budding superstar.
All right, well, that's on them because the Nuggets
well,
are
just letting you know. I mean, hey, listen, man, it took a long time for people to get the real respect out of the Utah Jazz.
Yeah,
well, it took a long time.
Whatever, I don't care. I just am enjoying.
Sure, you
the,
do because you're talking
no,
about
I,
it. Apparently,
I
just, you do.
I shake my head.
You care because you're talking about it.
You know what?
I really care.
I actually don't care that much. So I'm sorry that the perception is that I do because I really don't. What I care about is watching this Nuggets team just do what they're doing, which is awesome. So
winning
they're doing
good.
Great. The Avs are doing great.
Winning is good.
The Broncos are on a playoff track. The Rockies just made the playoffs. I mean, in a sports calendar year, we may have it. We may have all four teams in a sports calendar year make the playoffs. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be great. That would be great. You know what I'm more interested in right now is, well, you know, since you brought it up, with this Nuggets team, I think their coach really does fit the attitude of the team. Because Jamal Murray around the NBA is not looked at as prim and proper guard in this league. He's almost looked at as almost as a guy who is disrespectful in circles. So, you know, maybe the coach is absolutely what this team needs because they have an edge and they have an attitude that's probably only Michael Malone that can give them. So here we go. We'll see how this continues down the line and how they stack up when all the numbers come in at the end of the year, because if they make the playoffs, D-Mac, that would be fantastic.
I mean, you're not rooting for them to fail because you weren't a Michael Malone fan, right?
No.
You're hoping you're wrong on that, correct?
Oh, no, I want the Nuggets to win.
Okay.
I always want the Nuggets to win.
All right.
No.
I just got to check.
No, I just, you know, like I say, I just don't necessarily agree with the way that their head coach handles his business. No, I'm never backing down from that. They can win great.
It's okay for you to change your mind. It's okay for you to change your mind.
No, but I'm not changing my mind about Bobby Knight either. So
you're putting Michael Malone the same with Bobby Knight?
I like certain coaches, and I don't like certain coaches. So, period.
What is it about Michael Malone that you just don't like?
I just think he's braggadocious. What else is it?
Oh, it's that?
But take that L on the way out.
That's what you don't like?
Oh, yeah. I think after the game against the Golden State Warriors, that was the one that I was like, wow.
What you don't like?
Oh, no, I don't like that at all.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because it's the players' league, so let the players do the talking.
Well, people interview them too.
But take that L on the way out.
All right.
I mean, I think the Nuggets playing this hard and the way
George Karl had quite a big personality.
Oh, he had a huge personality.
But you liked him.
Oh, I did because.
So you liked that personality.
Oh, I did because it was never about the other team. It was always about his team. He told you everything that was happening about his team and didn't mention hardly anything about the other teams
except about
how they need to play better if they want to be one of the best teams.
You must love Jared Bednar. Dude doesn't even talk.
I like coaches who are centered
must be
around
your favorite guy.
No, I like Bill Belichick. You know what? What do you want me to say? I do like Bill Belichick. It's all about his team. Don't worry about their team and what they're doing. Let's talk about us.
Oh, Bill's got a little bit of an ego.
It's okay. I like Andy Reid. You know, I like certain coaches, man, and then there's some that I just could care less about.
All right. Well, listen, great win for the Nuggets. Agreed?
Great win.
I mean, the Raptors are legit.
And what makes that win even more important is because of who their GM is. And Masai Ujiri was a guy that was here that the Nuggets didn't feel like they had to pay him premium money to retain him, even though he built some great teams.
We got
all those great teams.
We got key.
All those great teams that the Nuggets had, those were Masai Ujiri's teams. And now that he is the GM of the Toronto Raptors, you know, and what he's doing there and trying to get Kawhi Leonard to be comfortable there and continue that winning way up there in Toronto, that's all him there too. A great respect for Masai Ujiri and who he has become as a GM.
You know what I like about the Nuggets?
I like that they're winning.
And the Avs. Josh Kroenke figured out a plan and has stuck to it. Even though there were some crazy ups and downs. But as an owner, And he does operate the team on a day-to-day basis. He's where the buck stops when it comes to the Avs and the Nuggets on a day-to-day basis. If there was some sort of bigger plan, I'm sure his dad has a large influence. But on a day-to-day basis, they're following Josh Kroenke's vision. And I think he's doing a great job. And they're sticking to it. And Joe Sakic, we had Joe on. We're like, why do you even want to do this job? And he's like, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. But they stuck to it. It was Patrick Waugh that bailed out, not the other way around.
Right. Patrick Waugh tried to do us dirty.
That's right. He did. I just will never have the same respect for him as a... I'll always have great respect for him as a player, always. But as a somebody in management, I think he quit.
Oh, and, he tried to railroad this organization. He absolutely tried to railroad the organization.
And if he was going to quit, the time to do it wasn't appropriate where he did, and it led to one of the worst seasons they've ever had.
And I know that his focus was all about defensemen and getting him some help there, and when they didn't, and I understand the frustration there, but man, the timing couldn't have been worse.
Patrick was just a very, very old school guy, and it was a new school world. And
he's a guy who thinks defense wins.
That's that. I've been told many times, including by Joe himself, that he's got a fine relationship with Patrick.
He said their relationship is good.
So, okay, I'll take him at their word. They survived a horrible season. I mean, one of the epically worst seasons that any franchise could have, and they've come out on the other side. The Nuggets have had a plan. They have had a plan, and it's taken time to get there, but boy, is it paying off.
Boy, I am so glad that we did not bring Dwayne Wade in here to Denver.
So when it comes to, like, say, the Broncos, and the Rockies have a plan. Jeff Breidich has come in. He's got a plan.
No, I really like that plan. Now, I really like what Jeff Breidich has done and is still trying to do, especially in the pitching staff and the kind of moves that he made to say that, hey, we need to be different because of where we play, and I've taken steps to try to address that and did not look at it in the same way that many Major League Baseball clubs looking at how to field a baseball team. Brand new ideas, brand new actions.
The tricky part for Breidich is that although I really did like his plan, and it did work to a significant degree, getting to the playoffs 2 years in a row, the nature of baseball has changed already since he started kind of laying out what his plan was.
No doubt. I mean, when you have relievers that actually start games, that changes the whole mentality behind what a reliever is.
And when you see the Red Sox...
Maybe the reliever is the closer. I mean, maybe the reliever now going forward is the starter.
Maybe. Maybe you're... Well,
who cares about the start of the game anymore? Maybe it's how you finish.
Maybe your second baseman plays a good chunk of left field. Maybe your catcher plays more first base. Maybe, you know, like the Red Sox, you don't have just a regular starting lineup. You know, it really kind of depends. That's what the Red Sox did. Except for Mookie Betts. Other than that, who happened to be the American League MVP.
Right.
So I guess if you have a player who is going to be the MVP, perhaps he's your cornerstone.
You can't take that guy off the lineup.
Well, yeah, okay, fine.
But I do.
But let's face it. The Rockies have to get more creative to make sure they don't go into hitting slumps the way they did during the season and then the way they did in the playoffs.
For as well as the Rockies did last year, that was the worst offensive year that they've had.
They were wildly inconsistent.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, so the bottom line there with the Rockies is, you know, if we do all the things defensively as we've done in the past and just improve our hitting, you know, call it 5 percentage points, man, we're looking at, you know, being in the same category realistically as the Dodgers.
So when you think about it, okay, Josh Kroenke, gold star. Nuggets, Avs, Joe Sakic, Tim Connelly, way to go. Monfort, you made big changes. You did make big changes. And Jeff Breidich continues to roll. And, you know, everybody's happy with Bud Black, right? Like, everybody's cool over there. For the Broncos, you've made a plan. The best thing is to stick with it, Al, right? I mean, why would you change your plan now? Why would you do anything radical now? And your plan does involve VJ being the coach, running his staff, and Case Keenum as your quarterback. That is your plan.
This year.
That's got to be your plan this year and next year. If you're thinking about radical changes, then I would urge you to look at the other teams in town and see what they stick through. You signed Case Keenum for a 2-year deal, and you didn't draft a quarterback.
But the money's not guaranteed on the second year.
You didn't draft a quarterback in this year's draft. Your plan is Case Keenum for 2 years, no matter what. So stick to it and manage it the best you can, and let's see where we're at. Don't panic. And because they've had a sense of sticking to it, they could have easily, at 3-6 with a bye week, fired Vance Joseph. It would have been a huge mistake. And I'm glad they didn't do it. They could have. And I don't know if, if they're 3-9, maybe they are blowing them out. But they had some patience. Case Keenum is not a great quarterback, but he's managing things well. And when I look at San Francisco 49er tape, I will take Case Keenum 10,000 times to what I'll do with Nick Mullins. Oh, my God. I mean, that's not even close. But the degree that the 49ers, Al, are taking themselves out of games is unbelievable. I mean, it is unreal. And I actually feel bad for Kyle Shanahan.
You shouldn't, because that's the league. And, I have a rule in this league. If you are a good coach, you should win 5 games. 4 games at a bare minimum. But all good coaches in this league should win 5 games. If you can't find a way to win 5 games, then you're not, in my eyes, a good coach. I don't care who you are. So if you can't find a way to get 5 games in, then I don't consider you a good coach.
All right. I do. You don't have to hit that barrier for me, because I can look at what the Niners are going through, and I realize this ain't on the coaching.
But, dude, this is a results-based business.
You can have your opinion on it. I can have my opinion on it.
Is this not a results-based business?
Well, Kyle Shanahan ain't getting to 5 wins, and I think he's a good coach. You don't. I do.
There's no way you can be called a good coach if you can't get to 5 wins.
That's your opinion, so I definitely respect that. But
one that's rooted in years and years of NFL experience.
No doubt. You have more than earned your right to that opinion. I look at the 49ers as, such a ridiculous coaching challenge, and they actually have some good players.
Oh, this kid, Breida, man.
Yeah, but he's hurt now.
I know, but, boy, when you saw him run, tell me he didn't look like Philip Lindsay.
He's looks like that Philip Lindsay, Christian McCaffrey,
right,
Saquon Barkley,
right,
that guy.
Right, right.
Yes, but he's hurt. And Wilson, their other guy who's a little dinged up, too, he's your more traditional, bigger power, sort of, traditional NFL guy. If Breida's out, and Big Sexy, maybe we can check on it. We'll see, because they didn't practice today, but it doesn't look good. They've got one wide receiver that's dangerous, Pettis, who went to Washington, and is really fast and really good. Their biggest target is their tight end, Brittle.
Breida's already ruled out for the game.
Oh, he's already ruled out.
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. Brittle is their leading receiver. He's one of these tight end wide receiver guys. You know what I mean?
Like, he's a move guy.
Yeah,
he's
not doing a lot of blocking. He's going out on every single play. But he's not. He'll catch a few. He could get as many as 10 or 12 targets. They don't trust Mullins to really push the ball down the field that much. Although Mullins got the arm to do it. It's that his decision making. He's good, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good. Oh, terrible mistake. He's that type of guy.
Just so we're aware, Marquise Goodwin is expected to return after missing 2 games with personal issues. Yes.
Okay.
Personal issues. So it's not an injury?
No, it's family. It's quote, a family issue.
Yeah. Well,
he's had a rough year, personally.
All right.
I believe he lost
they
a,
have,
he lost
they
an
have,
infant kid.
They have, I'm sorry.
That's
that.
Right, right.
They have.
And I mean, have you seen that story about Goodwin, man? Big Sexy? D-Mac, have you seen this special about...
I have not.
Okay, man. You talking about a guy who is has been a real stud for his family. That's a guy that you want to model your kids. You hope your daughter finds a husband like that. Because Goodwin is the things that he's been through in his life, in his young life, and the person that he has become through it all, man, he is a superstar of superstars.
That's cool. I'm glad to hear that.
Great stories behind him and his attempt to be an Olympian and, a receiver in the NFL. He's got some real wheels. Now, if he's in the game, we have to treat him almost like we did last week with, what's the kid named Cincinnati that didn't do anything? John Ross. We'll have to treat him like John Ross. He's got that kind of speed.
Yeah, the 49ers are more than capable of doing absolutely nothing, and then something big happens. There's no doubt about it. It's a mostly dink and dunk stuff, but Mullins has a good enough arm to make a tough throw. They've got sneaky speed. They've got sneaky good players. They have a horrible interior offensive line. Oh, my God, are they bad. But they've got two pretty decent tackles in McGlinchey and Staley. But Shelby Harris should at least have two, maybe three sacks in this particular game.
Wow. My man goes from nothing, 1.5 sacks, to now you got to get two in this game.
Well, or it could be a linebacker just going like A-gap blitzes. There's tremendous pressure up the middle.
Wow, man. How perspective have changed in such a short period of time. 2 weeks, an interception, 1.5 sacks. Now...
Well, whoever's in the middle, Adam Gotsis, Kerr, Shelby Harris, whoever.
Shelby Harris is the best.
Derek Wolfe, I don't care. Whoever's
in
the middle.
Shelby Harris is the best one to give us that kind of pressure.
You could put Sua Cravens in an A-gap blitz, and he could get sacks up the middle. They're terrible up the middle. Terrible. McGlinchey's good. Staley's not what he used to be, but he's good. But they're horrible. And you can blitz them relentlessly on 3rd and 5 or longer and suffer no repercussions. You're fine. Because Mullins hangs on to the ball too long, and they just don't react well to it. The Broncos should have a field day, maybe more likely on the inside than the outside, but you know they used to move on into the A-gap every now and then. I mean, you can be creative here. The Seahawks just, I mean, it was ugly.
Seahawks are a good team.
The Seahawks are a good team. That was a much higher quality win than I thought.
I tried to explain that to you at the time.
By the way.
It doesn't look good when you lose games.
Well, they just didn't have it together. Even like Stink was talking about his conversations with Pete Carroll. And so the evaluation of like, hey, this is the right time to play the Seahawks. They aren't that good. That was all, you know, that all made sense. It's just Pete Carroll's a really good coach. And he's gotten them better over time. And Russell Wilson's a great quarterback. But, I mean, the 49ers were doing dumb things like, you know, muffing punts and giving up fumbles when the play is basically over and, you know, 3rd and 11 and it's pass interference on a ball that was never going to be caught. You know, like, dumb stuff, Al. Dumb stuff.
Losers find ways to lose.
Yeah. And they've had an inordinate amount of guys go on IR, and they've just been ransacked of really their significant talent.
Do we have the better coach? I think so.
Do we have the better coach? In terms of what?
I'm going to get into it later.
In terms of what?
I mean, our coaches, the numbers suggest that our coach is better than Kyle Shanahan.
In terms of what?
Wins, losses. That's the only thing the coach is judged on.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Isn't it?
No, not to me, but okay.
Oh, what are coaches judged on?
Oh, my gosh. It's a huge amount of stuff. It's like, tremendous.
But what's the most important one?
Having your team believe in you. Because you can't really control, you know, sometimes.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, what if you have a third-string quarterback and
you
that's
mean like
the best
you
can?
Last year?
Yeah. Yeah. What if you have that?
Yeah, we had that last year.
Yeah, how'd it go for us?
We got 5 wins.
Right. You're setting some weird bar. I'll just agree with you. If that's your bar, I'm happy to go with you on your evaluation.
You got to get 5
wins
in this
business.
By
your evaluation, Vance Joseph is better. By my evaluation, I'd have to really think about it. I'd have to really think about it.
What is there to think about?
Offensively, Kyle Shanahan is miles beyond Vance Joseph.
I think that guy is one of the best play callers I have ever seen in my entire life.
So there's that. And then, you know, we could keep
going
on things.
Does that make him a great head coach?
Not necessarily.
Because he's a great play caller?
But it helps. Oh, by the way, guess who's going to get that Green Bay job?
Who?
Josh McDaniels.
How do you know about that
one? That's the rumor that Josh is going to get that job. John Harbaugh's not getting fired, y'all. They're about to make the playoffs.
I've only seen Josh McDaniels work with one quarterback. So maybe if he has another Hall of Fame quarterback, then maybe it'll work.
Maybe it'll work. All right, we're off and rolling on a Ted's Montana Grill Tuesday. Thank you to Ted's Montana Grill for feeding the crew here today. Al, you're working on it. I got a little fish, too. I got, like, a salmon burger. Are you working on some fish over there?
I always have the trout.
Nice. Big Sexy. What do you got?
1977 America's Cut Burger.
That's quality.
It's got a bit of everything on
What's
it.
What's the Berry Man doing?
Canyon Creek Burger.
Oh, that's high quality as well. So, thank you to Ted's Montana Grill for feeding everybody on a Ted's Tuesday. Take that.
Take that L on the
wheel. Yeah. All right. We got the big three coming up next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
Story number one, Urban Meyer, Alfred, has retired. What do you think about that retirement, and do you think we'll see Urban Meyer somewhere down the line?
You know, I think I would love to see Urban Meyer in the NFL. He's an old enough guy where his concepts have been thought through. He understands the world that he is living in the offensive side. He's the innovator. Ever since he was at the University of Utah, where he coached Alex Smith to be the first overall pick.
NFL is a head coach or a GM sort of guy?
Yes, NFL head coach. Mm. But that's what I would like to see. I don't think that he should go back and coach any other place since he's had his dream job, and that's coaching at Ohio State. I don't know how it could become any better.
His legacy will be what?
A winning. Third winningest coach in the history of college football. He's a winner, period.
Not the scandal that rocked the university and left him suspended for three games.
No. I don't think that is going to be part of the footnote when you're talking about one of the game's greatest creators and play callers and big-time, big-game coaches. He's one of the best big-game coaches in the history of football altogether.
Bongos.
Three! Well, the NFL might as well go ahead and settle their collusion case with Colin Kaepernick. Today, Jay Gruden was asked after Colt McCoy went down with a broken leg about the opportunity for Colin Kaepernick to be part of the Washington Redskins.
Good logical question.
And he said, no, we're not going to do that. You know, we have to change so many formations. We have to do so many things. If this was week one, we consider it. But at this stage,
you'd rather go with Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
Did he see the game last night?
Not only that, but Mark Sanchez backup will be somebody that they pull off the streets or take from somebody as practice squad. I don't know. But the NFL should go ahead just settle the collusion case because there is nothing clearer now than after you've gone down to your third string quarterback and knowing that you still need a quarterback, there's no reason why you shouldn't at least give a guy who played in a Super Bowl not long ago a chance to be part of your team.
The fact that Kaepernick could not even get a workout for the Redskins in this situation is absurd. If you want to hate on Colin Kaepernick for whatever reason,
they might as well sell it.
Everybody has got to agree that him not even getting a tryout, never mind just being at it, he doesn't get a workout, and it's because what did Gruden say? Go ahead, Big Sexy.
He's been discussed for sure, and you know, right now at this point, we already had the workout last week with a few guys. We had a couple other guys coming in today, and then you know, it's just going to be a matter of which way we want to go. Do we want to go with the guys familiar with my terminology who we worked out last week, or with the new guy to back up Sanchez with a similar skill set, or go with a guy and teach basically a whole new kind of offense with a new offensive lineman with a lot of the zone reads and all that stuff. So not a lot of time to really get a brand new quarterback and new system.
All right, stop. That makes me want to throw up. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. Bongos.
Three!
Seattle's getting a hockey team, Alfred. How long will it take Seattle to get an NBA team back there?
I think as soon as the NBA say that they are going to expand the two cities that are getting new
Seattle's
teams.
Seattle's got to get one, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be Seattle and Vegas. Right now, Vegas is as hot as there is as far as cities go when you're talking about sports franchises. to see what the Golden Knights did last year and galvanizing that city and knowing that they have the Raiders coming in a year or so, D-Mac, it feels like Las Vegas is the newest city in the United States, and we know that's not the case, but it sure feels like that's where everything is going. I think when you start talking about NBA expansion, there are going to be two teams. Seattle will be one. Do you believe that Vegas will be two?
If that's what they're going with, two teams, it makes the most sense, sure. Yeah, I mean, they're the biggest markets that don't have teams, so that all makes sense. And it's proven that it's fine having professional sports teams in Las Vegas. There's absolutely zero downside to it. And they're big cities. They should be. They're staple American cities where sports franchises should be. Bongos.
Three! This weekend marks one of the great weekends in sport because of a game that you and I both have participated in covering it. Army versus Navy. When you see that game played at 1:00 here in Denver on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
What will be your fondest memories of being there to watch this only game played in Division I this weekend? First of all, do you like the game, and what are your fondest memories
of
the game?
Well, I love the game, and I always root for Army because my dad was in the Army, so that's and they finally won.
And my brother was in the Army.
So I root for Army. I saw their new uniforms, which are sick. So, you know, go Army on that. But my fondest memory of us covering the Army-Navy game is when we were doing a live broadcast, and the band was playing in a convention hall.
And we couldn't
10
hear.
10 feet away from us, right. As loud as humanly possible. I mean, it was so unbelievably loud that we actually had to send it to, like, I don't know what we did, a previous conversation, we recorded something. It was by far the most distracting moment I've ever had trying to broadcast anything. I mean, it was unbelievable in terms of the loudness. That would have been easy for me to say, oh, the pageantry.
Oh, my goodness. That's the big part of it. I mean, you saw the tanks, you saw the planes.
Yes, that's an easy answer.
I mean, the show of strength during the game.
No, me going deaf with a trombone blaring 3 feet in front of us will not be forgotten anytime soon.
Okay, bongos.
All right, bongos.
Three. That game's always great. And always signals the end of the college football season. It's the only game that's going to be played at the Division I level this weekend. And I'll certainly be watching.
All right.
New uniforms, by the way, they are sweet. If you haven't seen them.
They're awesome.
Check them out online, man. Golly.
Yes, sir.
Army, I mean,
yeah, stepping
wow.
up the game.
Take that,
Navy.
Right. My goodness. You gotta see these uniforms. They're kind of wicked, man.
Well, by the way, when we come back, there's an interesting college football twist that I don't know the last time this happened, and I think it's really cool. Details on that next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Shout.
I'm talking to you, Sean.
My name's Phil Lindsay. I'm from Colorado. Once a Colorado.
Sean. Spell it out loud. J-O-N-E-S is what it's about. Sean.
I'm talking to you.
Hey, man, when I was in high school.
Having the time of his life.
When this song was out, man. Was sung all through the entire neighborhood, man. Except instead of shop, we use Jones, spell it out loud.
Nice. Do you have any clue who sings this song?
This is. I know who sings it. Is it like. No, it's not. I was gonna say. I can see David Bowie.
David Bowie. That's right. This is David Bowie.
Is this David Bowie?
I thought you were going to say Duran Duran.
Is it David Bowie?
Well, no.
Who is it? Man.
You would have OMD.
Okay.
Orchestral.
Sounds like David Bowie. It sounds like a David Bowie song.
Which stands for Orchestral Movements in the Dark.
Oh, really? How many other hits do they have?
They got a couple. Okay. Everybody Wants to Rule the World is another big one from them.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
They got
you
few.
Don't want to say this is Tears for Fears?
Oh, Tears for Fears. Oh,
Tears
my God.
Tears for Fear. That's what it is.
Oh, my Lord. I'm sorry.
Is this Tears What'd for
I
Fears? What
I say? OMD. This is not OMD. Tears for Fears. Oh, God.
Tears for Fears.
Hey, D-Mac.
But take that L on the way out.
Take the L on the way out, D-Mac.
Sorry.
On that.
The hell's OMD,
shout,
though?
Shout.
Anyways, Tears for Fears, yeah.
Oh, that was great, man.
Two dudes from England.
Made a huge playoff run. By the way, man, congratulations. I haven't said it. Tears congratulations to Valor winning the state 5A championship. Okay.
Did we say that yesterday?
You did.
Oh, sorry.
Ed McCaffrey.
Great job,
his
Ed.
First championship.
Yep.
But certainly not Valor's first.
No. And probably not their last. Congrats to Coach Logan and all the public school kids at Cherry Creek High School. Good for them.
Hey, what?
I also want to congratulate Grandview and Eagle Crest.
Oh, yeah.
And Thunder Ridge and Columbine. All those other great public schools.
And, you know, last year, now, I know this is, I have to throw a little shade here because I'm so used to seeing the state playoff game on live television.
Yeah, those days are done.
Whatever that
what
was,
a shame, huh?
That was straight up nothingness. That was.
Do you know why that happened?
I heard there was a dispute over broadcasting rights and whatever with a couple of different networks, but when that game can't be seen,
not quite like that.
How many networks were there?
Well, there's a network that controls the rights to all high school games, and they basically blocked out everybody else. So it's a subscription-based service. If you want to see the game, and you could have seen it, you just have to pay
on
for
what?
It.
No. You mean
NFHS.
So they own all of the TV rights forever? I mean, I have an account. My son played high school basketball.
You could have watched the game.
I did, but then they had some premium coverage for it.
That's right.
So I pay a monthly fee to watch games.
It's a tricky thing because if you do have a subscription, you can see so many games. It's really, really cool. It's awesome. But they went the extra step to block out, you know, Altitude or Root Sports, you know, other people that have broadcast in the past.
So it was a website who did it.
Yeah, basically. I don't want to paint them as bad guys because it's a business and it's a subscription.
So they acquired all the rights from Chassa.
That's right. So you could have easily watched the game on any device you wanted to, and it's not that expensive. It's like $80 a year or something like that. So it's not ridiculous, but would you pay $80 just to watch
one game?
Probably not, right? But if you wanted to watch your teams all the time, you know, you can just sign up, and if you're a high school parent and they broadcast the games.
I think that was a one-time fee, I think, on there for like $10 for that one day. No, wait a minute. It was a whole year subscription, right?
I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs. I just know that that's what has happened.
That was ugly. That was not good for the state of Colorado.
It's business, dude.
Okay.
The most important thing, is that the kids don't get paid.
Okay.
Ever forget that.
The most important thing is that the kids don't get paid.
That's right. That's the most important thing when we're talking about subscription-based or cable or college or high school. The most important thing is the kids don't get a nickel.
Dan Jacobs just texted me. He said he got a message from management that there's no more singing in the show. Dan, me and management will have issues.
God, I am so embarrassed. Tears for Fears. Tears for Fears and OMD are kind of the same type of band. I'm trying to figure out what is OMD sing.
You must have really liked the way I sounded.
Yeah, I thought you were great.
Thank you. You know, I was at the gym today, man, and
stop showing off.
What?
Go ahead.
No, but I was at the gym today, yeah. And every now and then, you know, because people are really respectful most of the time when you are at the gym getting it in, you know, because when you are, you know, stationary or you're running or you're on your treadmill or you but I had a guy come over today, man, and said hi to me. And it was just the nicest thing, man, because he said he's been listening to the show for a long time. And I started to think, man, we've been doing this show for a long time. I remember when Dan Jacobs was standing right here when there was a disagreement with him and Scotty. That just right here, not long ago.
That got a little crazy.
I mean, that was 11 years ago?
Do you know how long exactly we've been doing this show together?
10 years.
Not quite. 9 years and 2 months.
Okay. When does 10 happen? In like February?
October, technically September 28th, 2019.
So that's more than, so what'd you say, 9 years and what?
Two months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're into our 10th year.
Oh, man.
This will be our 10th Super Bowl.
We've had, yes, that's probably what I remember.
Yeah. Because we started, it was a weird deal.
When was our first Super Bowl together?
That, Miami? Well, 9 years, well, yeah, 2009, I guess.
Was that Miami?
I think it was Miami, yeah. I believe so. Let it hail.
Magic Pizza.
Yeah, that was Magic Pizza, Let It Hail.
Those were the get it in days.
the close sign at the
at the Applebee's.
They had
the open sign on.
Right.
They had the open sign, and so we tried to go in.
That was a classic
at like 2:45 a.m.
I remember you convinced like CJ to come down for 3 days or something. All of a sudden, like CJ was like just there. That was the Colts and the Bears, right? That was Peyton Manning won his Super Bowl.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And it rained and
Purple Rain was playing at halftime with Prince.
That was us like
Was that the one? No. Wait a minute. No, that must have been another Miami.
I don't know. But remember, that was the one where we got to the car rental place, and it took us 2 hours to rent a car.
Right, for whatever.
And then it was in like a hurricane, and we had to drive to Fort Lauderdale. I mean, that was insane. That was a fun week. That was ridiculous. That was our first one. That set the bar pretty high.
Yeah, and we have set a standard about going to the Super Bowl and reporting all the great things that happened.
We'll be back.
Your commissioners
questions.
Your commissioner questions are good. I can't wait to go back to see what you're going to ask this year. I think I may ask a question this year.
I wish you would because I could use a year off. The pressure of figuring out what to ask
you
the guys.
You got a year off and everybody considered you blackballed.
I got 2 years off. I was blackballed for two years.
You know, I think I asked Madonna a question when she would.
Yeah, forget that. You can't even ask the celebrities questions anymore. Really, you used to be able to.
I know, but it's all like the fashion people who are allowed to ask the entertainers questions. And I remember sitting there before the Prince Super Bowl halftime, and Prince asked one question. He asked one question. He said, "Are there any questions?" One, two, three, da, da, da. And he just started playing, man. That was the best one. That was the best press conference ever for a Super Bowl.
And would you be willing to randomly test for marijuana?
My man.
All right, with that, I didn't even get to my cool little college football story, but we will with football at 4 coming up next.